The Holy Gospel this morning according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, Jesus gave up everything. He sacrificed his entire life, his entire being, to become the lamb that was slain. And it's not just like another human being who loves other people and he gives himself over for people that loved him. No, he didn't just get killed. This is Jesus who took upon himself the tremendous burden of the sin of the whole world. You see, Jesus didn't just die. He took upon himself all of our sin and shortcomings. And he took them to the cross. And on the cross, it wasn't just a horrendous death that he experienced. No, he actually experienced hell, the persecution of all of Satan and his demons. All of that was thrown upon Jesus when he suffered on the cross. You remember, God, his Father, abandoned him there. And he's cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So it's much more than just being killed as the lamb. This is the lamb who took upon himself the sin of the whole world. But our passages today don't only talk about his dying. They also talk about him being our shepherd. Because that Jesus did not stay in the grave. He rose from the grave. And as a matter of fact, he lives today in power and might, and he's able to guide us and guard us and protect us as the good shepherd. As a matter of fact, from our readings today, you may have noticed that today is a special day. It's Good Shepherd Sunday. The Christian church has always, in the fourth Sunday of the Easter season, read passages of Scripture and have us focus upon the fact that Jesus is our shepherd, the good shepherd. And so you see that my title of the sermon has this same theme, right? It's a shepherd theme. You may think it's kind of unusual, though, that it says the lamb's sheep, as opposed to something about Jesus, the good shepherd, or the shepherd of the sheep, the lamb's sheep. And it's kind of interesting, as I was studying for this message, I remember thinking this is kind of unusual, that Jesus is both the lowliest and the smitten and the humbled dead lamb, one of the flock, but then also the shepherd and the leader and guider and protector of the entire flock. That idea didn't come to me out of the blue. As a matter of fact, it came to me right from the Revelation text that we just read. And I want to take you back to that Revelation text. So this is the first time I want you to open your Bibles. Go to that Revelation text. This is Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. And it starts at verse 9. What it says there. It says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb." The first time we hear this word in this passage, the Lamb. clothed in white robes with palm branches in his hands and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Salvation belongs to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to God forever and ever. Amen." You see, all of these revelations that we read about in these various chapters of Revelation, these are actual visions that God gave to the Apostle John. And these are not just visions, but these are actual glimpses, even though they're figurative and symbolic, they're actual glimpses into the reality of this day today, the spiritual reality that is in heaven right now. We can't see it, but this is the clearest vision that we have of what's going on right now. And we have the Lamb at the center of it, and all the people in robes of white around and praising him. And what happens next? Then one of the elders, this is starting at verse 13, okay? Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" And John didn't know, so he answered like this. He said, and I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." I mean, these are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation, who have made it through the door of death into heaven. These are they. I remember when I was a kid, though, and I heard this for the first time, I was just perplexed by it, because here they had had their robes washed in blood to become white and pure. And that always seemed like a strange thing to me, washed in the blood to become pure. And, you know, we don't live in an agrarian society any longer where shepherd and sheep and all this kind of stuff is really familiar to us. But we don't need that to understand what's going on here, because the rest of Scripture tells us quite clearly what the blood of the Lamb is, right? This is the blood that Jesus shed for us on the cross. And that's the blood that washes over all of us to make us what? Pure, white, perfect in heaven. It's that blood of the Lamb that purifies us and makes us clean. And what happens after this? "Therefore, they who are in white robes," right, "are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of them will be their shepherd." Now you know where I got the title. The Lamb who sits in the midst of them will be their shepherd. And God. "For the Lamb in the midst of them will be their shepherd, and he will guide them into springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." You see, this is the spiritual reality of what we are living with today. It's actually going on for all of those who have passed through the window of death in heaven directly in something that looks like this image. But it also is the spiritual reality in which we live today, where God, our shepherd, the Lamb who is our shepherd, is guiding us, is protecting us, is providing for us, is fighting off all the demons for us. Amen. And what does Jesus do? Two main things that we see in this passage, right? The very first one and most important one is his blood makes us perfect. And the second thing is something that he does for us, and it's this: They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. And he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is not the perfect reality of our lives today. We experience this only partially while on this earth. Only partially do we see God's guiding and loving and caring for us and protecting us from all sorrow, right? But we do experience it. Only when we get to heaven is it perfected. And it all starts with the blood of the Lamb. This is the aspect of Jesus' life and death that is self-sacrificing, unconditional love. Love that in the Greek word is called agape. This is unconditional, self-sacrificing love that Jesus gives to us. And this kind of unconditional, self-sacrificing kind of love reminds me of the characteristics and love of mothers. Unconditional, self-sacrificing. Yeah, some of you may have thought, does Pastor Jack know it's Mother's Day? He's got to preach on Mother's Day. Don't you think about mothers, at least? Yeah, I knew it. But I still want to focus upon that unconditional love of the Lamb. But it's a good thing on Mother's Day to focus a little bit of our attention on mothers, because they really do exhibit this agape love, this unconditional and self-sacrificing kind of love. Just think about what they have to go through just through pregnancy. Everything that happens to their bodies and the lack of comfort and no sleep. And then what about the birth process? Holy cow. That's unbelievable. And then you have, after that, no sleep at night. And you got to feed and care for them. And then you plan all their meals and you live through the terrible twos. And then you got to take them to all their practices and you got to make all their meals and you got to comfort them when they're hurting and fix their sores. You got to change their diapers. All of this self-sacrificing, unconditional love that mothers have, we should honor and appreciate and love our moms today. All of our moms. I hope and pray that you guys can go out of your way today to love and appreciate everything that your moms have done. And I want you also to appreciate your mothers-in-law. Or maybe I'm going a little too far there. I don't know. No. You should. You should appreciate your mothers-in-law. I know sometimes those are difficult relationships. I also think that you should honor your wives today. Yes, your wives, especially your wives who have borne your children and have done all of these other unconditional loving things for you and your whole family. Even if they have yet to have children or haven't had children ever, they still give this same self-sacrificing, unconditional love to you and your family. And for that, they deserve our honor and praise today. But unfortunately, that's not the reality of some in our midst, and also not the reality of most of our relationships, even our motherly relationships in life. Some of us never even known our mother. Some of us have an estranged relationship with our mother. Some of us have been trying to be a mother for many years, even praying to God, please, without success. Some of our children have estranged themselves from us and have hurt us deeply. And some mothers today are filled with guilt and shame, thinking, I just wish I could have done more, or I wish I would have done this or that. Oh, we got to stop that. Please, don't think any of these things like this. You've loved your children, and God can handle all the rest. Don't be filled with guilt and shame. And yet I know this is the reality that some are experiencing today. And this is why I don't want to focus this sermon on mothers, but rather on the Lamb. Because that unconditional love never fails. And that's a love that all of us need. Mothers, daughters, sons, fathers, children, all of us need the love, the unconditional love of the Lamb of God. And interestingly, this Lamb of God, Jesus, is a man, right? And he came to earth as the Son of the Father. And most of the images in the Bible about God and his love for us are about fatherly love, right? But there are many other places in which the Bible gives us an image of who God is and how he loves us as a mother loves. I'd like you to turn first to Hosea. Hosea. It's kind of in the middle of the Bible. It's after Isaiah and a few, okay? So Hosea and chapter 13. Chapter 13, if you want and can find it, or if you have an app on your phone, it's easier to find that way. Hosea chapter 13. And Hosea chapter 13, starting at verse 8, has a description of how God loves us as a mother. This is what it says. I will fall upon them like a mother bear robbed of her cubs. I will tear open their breast. And there I will devour them like a lion, and as a wild beast I would rip them open. Whoa. That's some motherly love, right? Don't you mess with my kids. Don't you mess with my kids, because I'll take you out. This is how God thinks about you, his children. Man, don't mess with them. I'll take you out like a mother bear. Or how about back in Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 32. Got to go way further back in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And look at this description of God and how he loves us, starting at verse 11. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters or hovers over its young, spreading out its wings and catching them and bearing them on its pinions. Okay, so how many of you know what the pinions are? Yeah, because I told you this morning. Yeah. I had to look it up myself. I kind of had an idea. No, it's not the claws. That's what I kind of thought that might be it too. Not the claws. It's actually the flight feathers of birds of flight. Okay, so it's the flight feathers. So what is he saying here? He's saying he's making the nest, he's watching over them, he's catching them when they fall, and he's carrying them in flight, enabling his children to soar above the heavens. Now that is a great motherly loving picture of God. And there are many others. I want to take you to one in Isaiah where God compares himself to a human mother, talking about his people Israel in Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah is right in the middle of the Bible. Almost if you fold it open, and you'll fall right to Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 66, starting at verse 13. And this is what God says to his people Israel: as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. God has this attitude toward you that he wants to bring you comfort and peace and joy. This is what he says as a mother wants to. There's also the story we read a little while ago in one of our readings. I think it was just a couple weeks ago in Matthew. Okay, so if you want to follow along, going to Matthew chapter 23, Matthew chapter 23. And it starts at verse 37, Matthew 23, verse 37. And this is Jesus speaking. Okay, so Jesus is speaking here. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." All of these images of God showing motherly love to us, I think in total, are quite remarkable. I mean, this is a God who is fierce, who is powerful, who is willing to fight for his children, for her children. This is a God who is willing to catch you when you fall, to build your nest for you, to hover over you, and to carry you soaring through the air on his wings. This is a God who, like the bear, is willing to tear your enemies apart. This is a God who loves you so much that he wants to comfort you and bring you peace. This is a God who wants to protect you and gather you under his wings like a mother hen. This is the motherly love that God has towards each and every one of you. But maybe you're kind of surprised by the motherly images I picked. Because, I mean, some of them are quite remarkably powerful, remarkably protective, right? Do you think that's the image that God wants us to have of the Lamb, of himself? Absolutely. This is how mothers love. And this is how God loves us, with motherly love. As a matter of fact, I mean, John had another vision of the Lamb. Okay, another vision of the Lamb. It's written in another book of Revelation. If you want to page back to that, you can find that in Revelation chapter 5. Okay, Revelation chapter 5. Because the Lamb who was slain is the first one we saw, and who shed his blood. So Revelation chapter 5. This is another vision, again, showing us the reality of how God loves us and is in heaven today. And then I saw, this is what it says, starting in chapter 5, verse 1. "Then I saw at the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals.'" So here we are. Look for the Lion who has conquered in the image that comes next. "And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain." So we're expecting the Lion who has conquered, and we get a lamb with blood all over him and battle scars all over, looking weak, right? But that's not it. Look what else he says. "I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." This is a lamb you don't want to mess with. He is powerful. He is strong. He is everywhere throughout the earth. And he is willing to fight for his sheep. Now, I mentioned a few things when I was talking about our relationships and the brokenness in our lives. And I want to end with a couple of thoughts that are related to that. because we should know that our powerful, motherly Lamb of God, who has saved us, who has died to forgive us all of our sins, is our Lamb. The one who forgives all of our sins, who makes all of our relationships whole, who heals everything that is wrong in our society. As a matter of fact, you need to trust this powerful Lamb of God who was slain. You should trust him. You should trust him because he unconditionally loved you, sacrificed himself for you, and you should trust him because he's powerful, more powerful than any other being, as these passages suggest. So any of you today who are suffering, who have guilt or shame, I pray that the Lord would rain down on you his grace and his mercy, his forgiveness. It's paid for. It's done with. It's over with. Don't feel that stuff anymore. And know for sure that he's given you the power of the Holy Spirit. He can make your life different today. And it's definitely different for eternity. As a matter of fact, he promises us this also in the gospel reading that he gave us today. He is the one that makes us perfect and righteous before God. He promises us also that he will raise us from the dead. He will give us a brand new life that is exactly like this Revelation passage says. A brand new life that is perfect, where there will be no more tears, no more guilt, no more shame. It's over with. But not only that, you have his power living in you, right? Because you can live differently now. You can actually love like Jesus loved, because he perfects it through you. You can actually have new relationships. You can actually share the love of God with others, all others around you, through the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to worry about what you are capable of doing. No, God will work through you to do this. Trust him. After all, you are the Lamb's sheep. And the Lamb is fierce. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.